Welcome, everybody. My name is Anthony Laboriel, and in today's podcast, we're going to talk about how different companies create a brand and try to establish brand loyalty through the use of audio and color. With us here to talk about the topic are composition, rhetoric, and digital media master students here at Nova Southeastern University. We have Monique Wolf.
Hi, I'm a graduate assistant coordinator at the Writing Communications Center, and I help create a lot of their branding and marketing material and run their social media accounts. And today I'm going to be talking about how to create and sustain a brand through social media and style guides.
We have Aiden Rivas.
Hi there, I am a graphic designer who works at Nova Southeastern University, maintaining Nova's brand by creating things like flyers and such, and I'm going to be talking about color and the types of impacts that it can have on us.
And we have our very special guest, Adam DeRoss.
Hi, I'm Adam. I am also a graduate assistant coordinator at the Writing Communications Center. I've been working at NSU's radio station, Radio X, for the past 6 years. Been doing a radio show every Friday night, and I'm here to talk a little bit about how important the ethos of audio can be to brand recognition.
Awesome. Thank you for that. And as well, you have myself. I am Anthony. I am a graduate consultant at the WCC with Monique and Adam as well. And I'm on the social media team with them. I'll be helping out, talking about some of the social media and also running some of the games that we have later on in the podcast. But until then, Monique, take us away.
So before we begin, a little bit of the reasoning behind our podcast idea. This is a project for editing layout and design class. We had to design a podcast that would focus on an aspect of either composition, multimodality, communication, or digital media. All of us have a background in education and communication. Therefore, it was no brainer that we wanted to pick a topic that dealt with analyzing the different components like visual and audio that makes a brand memorable.
And since our program has such a special focus in digital media, we also wanted to talk about how a brand can transition across different mediums like print, the internet, and social media, really capturing that multimodality. So with all that said, let's jump into our first area of interest, which is understanding why branding is so important.
All right, guys, so for this first section pulling up right now, we're going to be talking about branding and personifying an object with Monique Cole. So if you want, you can kick us off, Monique.
Okay, so when trying to understand how companies create a brand, it's important to first understand the meaning behind the word brand. So according to Merriam-Webster, a brand is a characteristic or distinctive kind, a public image, reputation, or identity conceived of something to be marketed or prompted. So taking that definition a step further, the act of branding is defined as the promotion of a product or service by identifying it with a particular brand. So essentially, what companies are trying to do is setting themselves apart from the rest in order to make themselves more memorable, in order to build their relationship with the customer or to sell more of their products.
And continuing off of what Monique just said, in creating a brand, they're attempting to create a memorable and meaningful experience for not only the consumer, but also the brand themselves, in order to establish a memory within the consumer through word of mouth, ads, product placements, and other brand success. Creating a brand and ensuring that it is here to stay is a tough challenge for most successful companies. Brand loyalty is built when a mutual trust is shared between constant success between the consumer and the company. People that only buy Apple products are a prime example of what brand loyalty encompasses. Whenever I'm looking for a phone, I tend to choose an Apple product because of their continued success, not only with me, but in general.
And brands are composed of many different elements. So according to Geller, who is a contributor to Forbes, she breaks down a brand into these different components, such as a logo, words, type, font design, colors, personality, price, etc. And essentially, when this brand is developed and to keep an organization on the same page, traditionally organizations will create a style guide to house all these different design elements, because again, it can get confusing when different people are making different components for the company and they might not know the right type or color that they should be using. So one of the examples, for instance, would be the Writing Communications Center with our social media marketing presence. So NSU rebranded a short while ago, where they just established a new style guide containing different word marks, logos, images, primary, secondary colors, even their slogan, Prepare to Dominate, that we had to essentially transition from the university level to us being a student-centered service on campus, making sure that we're not only maintaining the NSU brand, but modifying it so you see it within our marketing materials, and we're able to tweak it just a little bit so we could represent ourselves within it with our personality, but again, represent that larger brand. We not only do this through marketing materials, but we also do this with our social media presence. So we try to create a very unique looking feed. We use certain filters. We try to create that color scheme, again, of that blue, gray, gold that we try to go for.
It is also very important for brands to know their audience and kind of get to know them. This can influence even how the organization or product goes about promoting themselves, whether or not they're going to use print media, if they're going to stay online, radio, social media, kind of like a mix and match of different options. Through the different components or messages, they work together to kind of create a specific channel of communication in order to reach different communities and demographics of people.
Right. And what's very interesting too is brands will change again with the different times when it goes on, is you'll see them modify their brand. And one of the things that we're dealing with now, again, being in quarantine because of this virus, we're seeing different brands respond to this. And one of the interesting articles that I read about a week ago dealt with certain logos being modified to reflect the social distancing. And I'm going to open this up to conversation on whether you believe that different logos being modified, if you think that's really showing an act of solidarity with what's going on right now, or do you think that it leads it more into a problematic path for a brand that's taken as almost some sort of joke of what's almost going on?
It's actually a really good question, Monique. Personally, I feel like some people may be using this virus to kind of get ahead in some of their consumerism almost. They kind of, almost like whenever things were going down in Sudan and all of the companies and everybody were changing their Instagram logos to blue. Yes, it does show some sort of solidarity in this moment of need, but it also does show that they are still trying to get ahead in these dark times. That's my personal opinion.
Right. It does seem like the companies are going out of their way to try and earn in some kind of profit during this. However, I don't think it needs to be mutually exclusive. I think that a company can show solidarity while also having it be the best business path, because the alternative would be to keep everything being exactly the same and not address the large crisis affecting the world.
I agree.
Same reason that, you know, we kind of, when you have a social media account or any sort of brand in general, like if you ignore what's going on in the world, then more often than not, that reflects poorly on you. But you also have to do it in a smart way, because there are plenty of ways to create controversy. I remember after Prince died, Cheerios decided to do kind of like a memorial post to him, except there was something about the memorial post that seemed like it was taking advantage of the fact that he was dead to promote Cheerios. So, you know, in a case like that, you just kind of have to really be careful about what you're doing in light of the world's events.
And I think, unfortunately, a lot of companies don't put forth that discretion when making their decisions in a crisis and end up doing exactly what Anthony warned of and seeming like they don't care as much and like they only care about money. So it's quite an interesting thing to see in the world, especially when looking at it from the perspective of branding.
Yeah. Research is really important. That's why companies have PR specialists, so they're able to research the different trends, see what's going to work for the company. And again, it's one of those things that when I was reading the article, it really went both ways, where it was perceived that, hey, this is a messed up thing to do, or again, being able to acknowledge the current situation and at least trying to advise a certain way. Because at the end of the day, these brands are trying to be maintained and the companies are going to try to stay in business.
I do feel like it's all about intention, almost, kind of like what Adam was talking about with Prince, whether or not you go in with the proper intentions and do it well enough to kind of succeed in kind of keeping that balance between the gray area of whether this is for personal gain, an act of solidarity, or a joke even at that. So it is a very thin line to travel across.
So that was an overview of branding. The next point we're going to be talking about is color.
In creating branding and marketing materials, to me, it's just guidelines for designing, but it's also a form of induction into that company's ideas and values. The color scheme chosen for a brand represents many different things, psychologically and idealistically, and it might be surprising what effects color can have on you. Psychologists like Mark Terwacht and Jan Hoeksma believe that things like our favorite colors and the emotions we associate with them are tied to factors like our culture and our age groups. For instance, they point out idioms in the English language like green with envy, or red hot rage, or blue with sadness, and all of these reflect common color associations that we don't even really think about. And it's funny to think that something as simple as color that's so universal and pervasive can have such a profound effect on us, but it does, even if it's subtle.
When thinking about colors, a couple of emotions come to mind. So whenever you're thinking about the color yellow, it generally thinks about optimism, clarity, warmth. Orange is friendly, cheerful, confident. Excitement and bold would be red. Purple would lead to creativity, imaginative. While blue, healthy, trust, strength. And these are just a couple of the color combinations that kind of feed into some of our emotions that we have and how some marketers would use certain colors to invoke these types of feelings and emotions within their consumers in order to generate the revenue coming from that.
Right, and color has been researched quite a bit, and it didn't start exactly with him, but a familiar name in Isaac Newton was the one who wrote a treatise called Optics, and in it is where he comes up with the color wheel, which is, you know, the circle that organizes colors based on how light combines to create them. And what's important about the color wheel is that it lays them out opposite to each other, and adjacent to each other, and in various other ways that art students will be thinking of the words for right now. And it's what's important is to represent that dichotomy in the colors. And since colors can even go so far as to give us physiological reactions, we can think of color combinations in branding by the mixtures of emotions associated with them too. So if red represents excitement and passion and the heat of the moment, and you pair it with another primary color like yellow that represents that warmth and optimism, then suddenly McDonald's colors are representing a welcoming brand that exudes passion for what they do. You can also take it back a little bit more evolutionarily and say that red is the color of blood and therefore will get your blood racing, and maybe yellow would represent hunger. If you think of these, all of this at once, and the fact that marketing professionals know about this as well, you can, you know, reach the conclusion that they make conscious choices so that we associate their brands with these emotions and values. And there's a fun experiment that I like to think of in the case of the Baker Miller pink, which is a shade of pink that was came up with for a psychological experiment. And it was by Alexander Schoss in the 1970s, and he just wanted to find out if colors could make people feel emotions. And after he presented his ideas at a conference, two military prison wardens in the audience were interested enough to get involved with it, and they agreed to paint part of their prison in this calming pink that they came up with, and they named it after them. Well, there's no proof that staring at that particular shade of pink would make one any more passive long term, it consistently did make prisoners calmer and even physically weaker for at least the first 15 to 30 minutes that they saw it. Even more interestingly, being in the painted rooms too long made the prisoners even more aggressive, leading to a higher total of annual incidents than the year before. Now, it's suspected that the pink began to anger prisoners because now they associated the calming pink with captivity, and the effort to pacify them only increased their rage in the end. So, thinking of things like this, color can absolutely have a profound effect on us. So it's with that we're all done talking about color, and now we're going to talk a little bit more about sound with our special guest, Adam. Adam?
Hello, everybody. So thank you for having me. I'm very glad to be here and talking to you. I'm assuming you brought me in here because of the Radio X ties, which is great. I appreciate that. So speaking from my experience as a radio DJ, I mean, sound plays such a huge role in appealing to people, in appealing to ethos, in appealing to pathos. It's just one of the biggest components of forming connections with people. So if you want to look at it in the more traditional sense of branding, I mean, we all know that we have certain companies that have different jingles, different tunes, different songs that are associated with them. Maybe a famous song is used in a commercial by a famous company. And whenever you hear that song now, you associate that company with the song, or, you know, whatever sort of audio that a company likes to implement, it's purposefully done so that you associate them with that jingle and that you get some sort of emotion from it. There is actually a theory called the theory of mirror exposure effect. And basically the way that it works is that when you hear something, even if you don't like it initially, just the constant action of you being exposed to it over and over and over again, you subliminally begin to like it more, which is why companies often don't change their jingles. If you hear a company's jingle, even if it's annoying to you at first, you're probably going to hear yourself or catch yourself humming it to yourself, a few weeks later after the 50th time you've heard it on the radio. But the mere exposure effect does have diminishing returns in the sense that if you keep on hearing the same thing over and over again, eventually it's going to plateau and eventually it's not going to have that same effect on you anymore, which is why companies also have to get really creative with the ways that they continue to implement that audio, whether it be, hiding it within some other sort of sound clip, or whether it be composing that tune, but from a completely different set of instruments, completely different sounds. And crossing over into the world of, being a radio DJ and just having so much exposure to music and to musicians, branding is a hugely important thing to creators of all kinds, not just businesses. For artists themselves, branding is so important because a lot of the time, the main concern with being a new artist is that, okay, I have to be original, I have to be unique, I have to be able to stand out because pretty much everything has been done before. It's very hard to be original in the current climate of music because it's just such a saturated market. So when you find somebody that either has some sort of unique sound, maybe they have like a unique guitar tone, maybe they develop a way of playing their instrument that nobody knows about. So Earl Scruggs, for example, a hugely influential name in country music, developed the three-finger picking style of the banjo that before he came along, nobody even thought to do that. And because of that, he is associated with an entire genre of music, even if he didn't play all of the songs in that genre. It's just hugely important to the identity of anything when it comes to branding. Music genres are kind of brands in themselves. Artists individually are brands in themselves. Do you guys have any experiences with artists or with any sort of audio-related things that kind of get you going or that kind of remind you of things?
You can go ahead.
It's one of the things that you mentioned really brought a whole bunch of memories back to my head. And specifically when you mentioned that in order to stop people from having that plateau happen of hearing jingles too many times or hearing the same familiarity thing too many times, it just brings me back to like things like Cartoon Network's like dun, 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 and like that was used for in general that channel on like Boomerang and such, and it's like in one way. And then later on, when they started moving towards like the Cartoon Network brand, they did exactly as you said. They shifted their instruments. And then if they wanted to advertise a new branching channel off of something, they would do the exact same thing. Same thing with Disney Channel. When they released Disney XD, they used a more technologically themed version of their Disney Channel theme as well, I think. It's just, it's interesting that you mention it, but it's absolutely the way that works. Same with Taco Bell used to do it as well. And now that for a while they've been going with that same just bell ring, just the dong, like
I mean, if you think about how different advertising would be without sound, I mean, it's crazy. Like, so much of the impact that marketing has on us is through our ears. And I talked about businesses, I talked about music, but it comes to entertainment as well. And when it comes to like film, TV shows, if you've ever heard like a credits theme of a TV show, like every single time you finish an episode, you're expecting to hear that credit scene. And there are different creative things that people can do with that depending on what they want to do to their audience. So no spoilers, obviously, if you've never watched BoJack Horseman, one of my favorite shows, but the credits theme for that show back in the 90s, that's a very iconic part of the show for a lot of people. And in certain episodes, the absence of that song in the credits or the replacement of that song with a different song in the credits actually lends to the subtext and the identity of the show. It makes you feel something because, that expectation is subverted. And the same thing happens in advertising all the time.
Something related to the music aspect of what you were talking about earlier, Adam, kind of an artist that really sticks out to me whenever you're talking about certain like changes and things like that would be the artist Kid Cudi, one of my favorite all-time artists, and kind of how you were talking about the different way to play the banjo. There are always different artists out there that are attempting to kind of update their sounds, and I feel like Kid Cudi would be one of those artists that has definitely traversed it. He was one of the first rappers that tried to incorporate rock inside of his sound to kind of push it forward to new bounds. So I do understand what you're talking about with like the update of audio and sound, and based off of trying to be original and trying to kind of, in this current climate of, will there ever be something completely new anymore if everything's already been done?
So. Right. Everything is a derivative of a derivative of a derivative, you know? And I think that's one of the biggest parts of having successful marketing, is that it doesn't necessarily matter whether or not you're completely original. What matters is if you're memorable. If you take something and you manipulate it to the point where it becomes something completely unique to you, then that is more important at the end of the day, because that's what people are going to recognize you for.
It's interesting that a company can make themselves recognizable by taking something else, another media artifact in the world, and adapting it to their own purposes and still become popular and not have it be a problem. I'm thinking of things like Maroonie that used the Ghostbusters theme with their jingle, and they gained popularity to the point that, you know, 12 years later, I'm remembering it and saying it on a graduate school podcast.
That's actually really interesting. But if you guys want to, since we're talking about audio now, we could move on to the audio and sound color game that we have picked out for you guys. You guys ready for that one?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Sure. Awesome. All right, guys. So the rules of this game are very simple. So I have compiled a list of brands, companies, certain jingles that I'm going to be saying to you guys. I will tell you which one is which beforehand. And I'm going to ask of you to choose, like, if it's a brand and I'm saying, hey, what are the colors of this brand and what do they make of them? You will tell me the color, and then I'm going to ask you, what does that color represent? Because I said a couple of them earlier, and I hope you guys are paying attention.
Oh, God, it's a pop quiz.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. It was just trying to see if you guys, you know, paid attention. So we're going to start. It's going to be Monique versus Aiden versus Adam. Yes, you are all allowed to participate in this. And the player with the most correct at the end of the game will be our winner. And then we can slowly wrap up our podcast. How does that sound to you guys?
All right.
Cool.
Awesome. Okay. So first one, you're going to tell me what the color is and what it means. So what does the UPS logo, what are their colors?
They're brown and gold.
Okay.
Remember those ones. You said yellow was for optimism and clarity.
Yes. Wow. Ooh, first point goes to Aiden. Let's go. Pew,
pew, pew. Yeah, but what about brown, though? I feel like brown would kind of counteract that a little bit.
Mm. I'd like to think you just hope that your solidarity. It's natural. It represents the cardboard of the boxes.
You know? You just hope that your
they're very earthy, very materialistic company. In a good way.
Materialistic in a good way, absolutely.
They just trade in materials, that's all it is.
Alrighty. So, the next one is going to be a sound, and you're going to tell me where that sound is from, okay? And for copyright reasons, I'm going to be singing the sounds because we're not trying to get arrested out here. So, and if you can finish it, all the better. I'll give you an extra point if you can finish it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No. I'm loving it. It's McDonald's.
Ooh, okay. Adam's quick with that one.
Fast on the McDonald's, huh?
Fast on McDonald's. Okay. What's your favorite meal from McDonald's, Adam?
Coffee.
Ooh.
Coffee?
The best meal of the day.
That's not a meal.
I don't eat at McDonald's that often. Whenever I go to McDonald's, it's usually just for a quick coffee fix if it's the only thing around.
That's I feel the same way about when to go to McDonald's, but if I'm there, I'm probably getting chicken tenders.
Big Macs are the way to go for me.
Ice cream when it works.
That's a good one. McFlurries are kind of the wave.
Alrighty. So the next one is going to be another company, and you guys are going to tell me the color and what the color means. Okay. So this next one is Nickelodeon.
Orangey.
Ooh, wait.
A little bit of a tiebreaker.
Ooh, I think I heard all three of you guys at the same time, which is hard because you guys are in my ears. Okay, so what does orange mean?
Happiness. I'm assuming nostalgia and childlike wonder.
Okay, you know,
I don't know. I feel like it's just a very, like inviting, friendly color, you know?
Well, you just said the main word. You said friendly. Yeah. Nice. Which
I got it.
Congrats. All right, Adam on the board with a 2. Aiden on the board with 1. Monique sitting pretty at 0. You know.
See, I'm not negative.
You're not negative. You could be. You know, who knows? What if I threw in a curveball? No, there's no curveballs in this game. This is a very straightforward game. Okay, so I have the next sound that I'm going to do for you guys. I'm going to be alternating them. So this, just to kind of give you guys a hint, is a movie company. Okay. Dun 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 dun.
20th Century Fox.
Hey, okay. Well, I mean, man, Aiden knows all this stuff, so that was so unfair. Aiden just ate that question.
Easy cheesy.
Alrighty, so Aiden's at 2 now.
Cheesy like the color of the logo.
The next one is going to be a brand company, a food place. So tell me how the Taco Bell logo, what colors consist of that?
I believe it has a purple background.
Anything?
Am I completely wrong?
I remember purple, and the bell itself right now is like magenta, I think. It's like pink.
Isn't it like purple and red-ish?
Yeah, it's like purple and red with like a little bit of yellow for the bell interior.
Yeah, no. You guys are all
I'm gonna go with Aiden's answer about the color red and how it symbolizes blood, and it gets your blood pumping because the food is so unhealthy. But
oh yeah, absolutely. You have to get your blood pumping before eating it, otherwise it'll clog your arteries instantly.
Well, since both of you guys are not agreeing with Taco Bell, I'm gonna give that to Monique because she's the one with the color.
she opened with purple anyway.
No, she opened with purple. So you know what? I'm gonna give that point to Monique since you guys are crapping on Taco Bell.
Taco Bell is actually my number one fast food restaurant. It's my favorite one to go to.
What?
Oh, it's delicious. Oh, it's amazing.
It's actually incredible.
The frame, man.
BFLs, as I like to call them. they're only like $2. Oh my god.
Am I allowed to tell people to buy a Crunchwrap Supreme or I'll eat it myself?
Those Cinnabon Delights that they have are probably one of my favorites.
I gotta stay away from those ones, man. Those are sinful.
I get the 12 pack of tacos and the 12 pack of Cinnabon Delights with a large Baja Blast Freezy Freeze.
There's so much sugar in what you just said. I'm all in for nacho cheese and carbs. I can't get beyond the sugar.
All right, guys. So this is going to be the last one. I do have more, but since two of you guys are already at 2 points, Monique is at 1. Actually, I'm going to do 2 more just in case Monique, you know, could come back on you guys. Mm-hmm. Alrighty. 2 more, guys. Red Robin.
Yum.
Alright.
That was the most unenthusiastic. I'm so sorry. That was
the most unenthusiastic yum I've ever heard, Adam. But you know what? You got it. If this was Jeopardy, you would have to say what is, but... Nah, you got.
What is yum?
What is yum? All right.
What is Red Robin? What are the?
I live in a world of bland food. I don't know what yum means.
Alrighty. So now the final scores, as of now, and we have one more coming up, are Adam with 3 points, Aiden with 2 points, and Monique with 1 point. Alrighty. So for all the wins and the dubs to be known, Aiden, you can possibly tie this up with Adam. Who knows? Right. Adam, you could blow them all into dust, or Monique, you can tie with Aiden. Let's see. All right, the next one is going to be a brand, one that we all know very well, possibly. And just tell me what colors consist of it and what those colors mean. We have Publix, where shopping is a pleasure.
Green.
Oh, Monique just ate that. All right. So, what does green mean, Monique?
I shouldn't have said, oh, that's
healthy. Like, you want to get your food. You think of organic. Right. You think of the environment.
Okay. These are some of the things that go with the color green. So, Monique, with 2 points. A, on the board, down but not out. All righty. Well, I mean, sadly, that does conclude our game, and our special guest Adam has taken the trophy, the virtual trophy, for the win. So everybody give him a snaps of approval, you know.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the virtual support and love.
Well, thank you for playing that game, and that is now the end of our podcast. From me, Anthony Laboriel, thank you for listening. Everybody else, Monique.
So, this is Monique checking in. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.
Aiden.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. It's really fun to talk about things that I studied a whole bunch and felt like they were something that only I knew, and now many other people know, so great.
And our very special guest, Mr. Adam.
Yeah, you know, I always take an opportunity to gush about audio, so thank you very much for having me. I hope you guys learned some things.
Alrighty, and from everyone here, goodbye.
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 And have a nice day. Thank you for listening, everybody.